let's just talk about all this stuff, because it's the news, according to me. Yes, it is the news, according to me. It's 8:32 Eastern Standard Time. You know, yesterday I was doing my show, and I think I was looking at my computer, my laptop, and my laptop was on Eastern Time, and it was actually... I was giving the time in... I thought I was in Central Time. It was confusing, because I was looking at it thinking, because I was in Central Time, I thought my computer was updated to Central Time, and it wasn't. It was in Eastern Time. It didn't go along with it like my phone does. I actually was an hour ahead of myself, watching myself from the back of my head, which was interesting. I was looking at this video the other day. Somebody posted a video of my class reunion. And it wasn't really a reunion, but it was kind of a gathering. And I was kind of sitting up front watching this band play. And one of our classmates. I told the whole story yesterday. But anyway, we had this... I was looking at this guy on this video. Some old man sitting in the front row there with really gray hair. And I realized it was me. I did not know I looked like an old man from behind. I looked like a very old man. Now, from the front, you'd never know it. In fact, and I say this with all just I'm just being transparent here. I had three people walk up to me and say I haven't changed a bit since high school, in terms of the way I look. Like they recognize me right out of the I think it's because I look odd. I have that kind of odd look that, you know, people can't misplace when they see me. However, from the back, apparently I look like a 300-year-old man. But when I walked in the place, everybody knew who I was right away. Now, people in this community have seen me since high school, so I think that part of it is they've kind of seen, most of the people who said something, they've seen me since then. There was one person there that knew me that hadn't seen me since high school. So that was kind of interesting. Anyway, what they really did, what most of them were really most curious about, the very first question I got, which was odd, it was an odd question to ask, but the very first question they asked me was, what was in my cup? Now, the reason this was so odd was because I wasn't even carrying a cup. I didn't have a cup. By the way, I don't drink, actually. I do drink, but not liquor. I got a Coke that night, and later on, was much later in the night, in the afternoon, whatever. Because this was the early bird reunion. You know, the older we get, the less we stay up late. I don't know if you realize that. Young kids don't start even thinking about going out now until after like 10 o'clock. The old fogies are, you know, pretty much, they catch the early bird specials for dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I think that's actually what time our reunion started, was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that just tells you. I guess this is Cinco de Mayo, or was that yesterday? Cinco de Mayo. This is actually the biggest communist day in the world. Workers' Day or whatever. It has nothing to do with, when you go to Mexico, they don't even know what Cinco de Mayo is. Just another one of those fallacies that we fall for. I'm having some issues with my computer this morning. Not sure what's going on with it. Hopefully I just clicked on a few things here. Hopefully it fixes it. Maybe it's not the computer that's the problem. But I digress. I got some stuff about, just a lot of stuff happening in the news right now, the news cycle. And it's one of those interesting moments where, you know, the roots of this channel, when I first started this as a YouTube channel back in probably 2012, maybe 2008. No, it wasn't that early. It was 2012, probably 2011, somewhere in there, right around the Obama times, 2008, 2009. I'm pretty sure it was like 2 years in. So it's probably 2010, 2011, because I was pulling up some memories in my head, not on video, of what was going on back in the elections when Romney was around, about 9 years ago, when Romney was running against Obama in 2012 to try to get the try to take away his reign of terror. The and people were voting for Romney, even though the guy was well. Let's just say I'm actually glad Romney did not become president. Another 8 years or another 4 years, another 4 years of Obama. Okay. But even though that was the time that they actually got the whole Obamacare thing put in, that was, I still blame the Republicans for that. I don't blame Romney for, I think Romney probably would have voted for that. After all, it was patterned after his whole thing from Massachusetts when he was governor there. Okay, so the roots of this show were more about what the news organizations were doing. It was about the news, but it was about the way the news companies reported the news or fabricated or spun the news. And this is, I was recalling this whole thing with Harry Reid and what happened back in the 2012 election cycle, and how he came, just flat out bold-faced lied about Mitt Romney. This wasn't just some senator on the fringe. This was the Senate majority leader. This was the Chuck Schumer. We're coming for you, Gorsuch. This was the head of the mob there on the Hill in the Senate. And again, it epitomizes the end justifying the means and the blatant, outright, unrepentant just arrogance that these people have when they tell a lie and it doesn't matter. I did something good because I told a lie. This is the Anthony Fauci. No, you don't need to be wearing a mask right now. No, nobody needs to be wearing a mask. That's ridiculous. Yeah, you probably should be wearing one. And another layer just couldn't hurt, you know. Well, I had to lie because it wasn't a lie, really. I just had to tell that. I had to say that because I was protecting I was protecting people. Bull. The one thing I know about the American people, and I think this is where politicians get it wrong so many times. We've established this idea that the American people are stupid. Now, I don't buy that for a minute. I don't think the American people are stupid. I think that they're disengaged and not attached to what's going on in many cases. But they're not stupid. I think that they're unaware or they're not paying attention, maybe. But they're not stupid. Now, despite the public schools' efforts to dumb down America, the American people still have an aptitude for some things, and they still have some common sense, street knowledge. And I'm saying people in general. I'm not talking about your people who live in Walmart, people who wear slippers and a Snuggie when they go shopping at Walmart. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people who are just average, everyday working people, who have some clue about what life is about. These people in Congress have this idea that they are so much smarter than us. And I think what happens is after a while, people just start tuning them out. They don't really care about politics anymore. It's just a bunch of rhetoric. And unfortunately, we forget that these guys, these people, these Only names that I can't say come to mind when I start talking about people on the Hill. These people on the Hill up there who think that they're our overlords, they're our parents, they're the ones who know everything and they're going to tell us how we should live and they're going to do what's best for us. Who think we're stupid. Have a lot of control over our lives, unfortunately. More and more every day. And it's this very thing, you might say, that disturbs me. In the way they put all this stuff together, in the way they talk to us every day, in the way they manufacture and scheme. So this issue came up with the whole Harry Reid thing. And I think the reason it popped into my mind was because of the way it just epitomizes the way the left operates continuously. And it has become such a modus operandi, their standard operating procedure, their SOP. And the reason it has become this way is because they never get called out on this stuff. Now, there was a reporter who happened to be doing his job, and I think that this, I think this was an, it's so disingenuous when they do this. Because they never even ask the guy, they never say, hey, Harry, what's in your cup? I just realized I haven't answered that question yet. By the way, guys, I know everybody wants to know. And you're hanging on pins and needles here. I want you to relax, enjoy your morning as you listen to the show. So, I have V8 Fusion again. I'm drinking peach mango V8 Fusion. It has a little bit of there's this other stuff that I have little bottles of that it's supposed to be all 100% juice as well, but or fruits and vegetables juice, whatever. I don't know if it is or not. I'm drinking it thinking it's probably good for me, but I don't know if it is. It's probably better for me than tea with like a half a ton of sugar in it. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a life coach or an epidemiologist. I'm not even qualified to be on American Bandstand. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just drinking this stuff. And hopefully it's better for me than some of the other things I was drinking. It's not hot, though. It's cold, which in the summertime, that's okay. I still like having something warm to drink in the mornings. And I'm just not a coffee guy. So until I can replenish my chai, which probably isn't good for me either, I'm drinking this stuff. Anyway, to move on. This whole thing, I was watching a report about the whole Russian disinformation thing. And this is all in the news now, right now. And it's not, well, at least on some channels. And the whole point is, I'm watching MSNBC and their fake, phony thing. They're still going after Trump. And they're going after anybody who supported Trump. Now, they're a little bit taken back and dismayed and are trying to come up with something now because my understanding is, I heard yesterday that Trump's endorsements, 20 of Trump's endorsements won the primaries. Then I heard later in the day that 50 of his endorsements won in primary races. 50 of them, and zero lost. As the numbers continue to roll in on some of what they call close races, which were between 3% and 4%, that's close. I thought Biden won by a landslide, and it was like 0.5%. Anyway. Speaking of the elections, 2000 Mules, I think it was, Dinesh D'Souza, the movie that you can't talk about or get banned on YouTube because it's such a free speech platform and they don't want to have any disinformation there. So they have to ban you if you say something like, sky's blue. Well, you're a Republican, so we're going to ban you. You didn't say what shade of blue it was, so that's disinformation. So anyway, we have these, well, where am I going with all this? It's just, I've got this video queued up here of Harry Reid being interviewed. Now, I want to play for you the actual video of Harry Reid saying what he said on the Senate floor. Now, I did not have this queued up. Let's see if I can queue this up as well with my, I need to pull it up on my, I have to pull it up on my phone, I guess, because I accidentally went and did something else here. I should have done that. So let's play the little 50 cent. This is about a 60 second clip, I believe, of Harry Reid on the Senate floor. This is actually what he said in his own words, as they say. Let's see if I can connect this thing. Push that. Yeah, parrot. Okay. Do that. All right. There we go. There we go. It's supposedly it's paired now. So let's give this a try and see if it actually comes up. And you can hear this, okay? Hopefully I got the volume up, okay. This is Harry Reid on the Senate floor, talking about his friend on the Republican side. He calls him his friend on the Republican side. You know, of course, now Harry Reid is a Mormon, and so is Mitt Romney. You never know that Harry Reid is a Mormon, other than, you know, it's just, he's a Mormon. But let's see what Harry Reid has to say here.
When we're talking about trust, we need to look no further than the person that Mitt Romney wants to, that my friend, the Republican leader, wants to be president of the United States. He's refused to release his tax returns, as we know. If a person coming before this body wanted to be a cabinet officer, he couldn't be if he had...
Now, I just want to make something really clear here really quick. I have sped this up. It's at 1.25 speed for a couple different reasons. But one, the main reason is I just don't like listening to these people drone on. Now, sometimes when I speed up the video, it actually makes them sound smarter because they're talking faster. I don't know if you realize that. When a person speaks faster, it makes them sound smarter. That's why I talk so slow. We have this guy. This is. I didn't want you to get that impression. When I actually speed up Joe Biden doing one of his speeches, he actually sounds a little bit more coherent. I never slow it down, but I sometimes I speed it up, and it actually makes him sound like he's, you know, more like he's got it together more. But he doesn't. He's until he starts mumbling off and rambling off into nowhere land. But here we go.
He did the same refusal Mitt Romney does about tax returns. So the word's out that he hasn't paid any taxes for 10 years.
The word's out he hasn't paid any taxes for 10 years.
Let him prove that he has paid taxes.
Let him prove it.
He hasn't. We already know from one partial tax return that he gave us, he has money hidden in Bermuda, the Cayman Islands, and a Swiss bank account.
Bull.
Not making that up. That's in the partial year that he gave us. Mitt Romney makes more money in a single day than the average middle-class family makes in 2 years.
Mitt Romney makes more money in a single day than the average family makes in 2 years. Think about that. I think the average income right now is around, it's got to be right close to $50,000, I think, the average income, if I remember correctly. And I'll look it up, but it's probably different, way different than it is now. This is after COVID and all this other stuff that was going on. Let's look at under DuckDuckGo here. Let's see what the average... average U.S. family income. Now, this is a family income, not just an individual income. This is family income. There's usually two, you know, I believe about 0.6%, 0.5% of American households have more than one income. This is 2020, so this would have been before. Average income. The average household income in 2020, the average household income was $97,000. Median household income, the number more frequently cited, was $67,000. So, the average household income was $97,000. The median household, which is the average, the median, the normal. What? How could those two numbers be different? That different? $30,000 difference. So it's somewhere between $67,000 and $97,000. Let's say it's $80,000, just for, you know. So $160,000 a day is what Mitt Romney makes. And he's putting that out there. Now, think about that. That's actually more than he didn't. One thing he could have said was that's more than a Senate majority leader makes in 1 year. Because supposedly that's all they make. They make like $150,000 a year, whatever it is they make, which is way too much, first of all. And then secondly, he's trying to pit the American people. Oh, he's a rich man. He's making all that money. He makes more in a day than I make in 2 years. So let's say he's making, $160,000 a year. That's how much he makes. That's his income. That's how much is coming into his pocketbook. Let's see if that's, we'll just see what that's like in a year's time. Let's see what he makes here. He's making $58 million a year. That's what Mitt Romney makes, $58 million a year. Of course, in 10 years, that's $500 million. I don't think so. I really don't think so. I'm sure Mitt Romney has a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I know he makes a lot of money. Here's how Harry Reid figured this out. This is the kind of math these people do, and I guarantee you this is what he did. I don't know that this is what he did, but I'll guarantee you this is what he did. I just know how these people are. He found a day where he made that much money. This one day where he made $160,000. And he claims he makes that much every day. He makes as much in one day as most people do. That one day that you picked out, that you cherry picked out of the stack. This is how these people do this stuff. And he probably, after taxes and after all of his, maybe he had that much income in a day. I know some business owners who make that much in a day. And their expenses, after making $160,000 in a day, their expenses are $159,000 for that day. But if they have a bad day, and that's always on a good day, that's when everything works. If they have a bad day, it can cost them as much as $200,000 in a day, and they're still only making $160,000 a day. So they could be down $40,000 real quick. It takes them 40 days to recover from that. On good days, 40 good days in a row. This is the kind of baloney they don't tell you about when people talk about how much money people make and how rich they are. They were willing to take risks, and they happened to do things correctly, and everything worked out for them. Everything fell into place, and they happened to make it. Good for them. That's the American dream. Now, what's bad in this situation, and what's the equation they don't like to talk about, is occasionally there's shenanigans going on behind the scenes, where there is they're in some bureaucrat's pocket, and this is where we have what we call crony capitalism. It is where the government decides who's going to make it and who's not. This happens on every level of government: state, local, city, county, federal, you name it. It happens everywhere. And it's absolutely abhorrent and disgusting when this happens. Because it is the most unfair playing field that was ever designed. But I'm not going to get into that, even though I already have. So, where do I go with all this stuff? Where do I go? That was what Harry Reid said on the Senate floor as the Senate Majority Leader. Not just some, run-of-the-mill senator out there who is unknown. This is the guy who leads the Senate. Think about all the words that he said. He's claiming that Mitt Romney hasn't paid his taxes. He needs to prove that he has. What does he have to hide? He has accounts in Swiss bank accounts and down in the Bahamas. I know very few people who have a lot of money who do not have those kinds of funds put away in other resource. There's a very good reason, by the way, why people put money in Swiss bank accounts and why they put money down on the islands, Antigua and as well as Grenada and Bermuda. Because offshore money, there's no reason to move. When you're doing business overseas, there's a lot of different reasons for doing that. You could say it's unscrupulous, but there's nothing illegal about it. He's trying to make it sound like he's hiding his money. He's hiding something. Where's all of his money? Well, let's talk about Joe Biden then, Harry. You want to go that route? What we actually do know about Joe, but I digress. I'm going to press back from that a little bit. Because, you know, that's all conspiracy theory. That's all a Russian disinformation campaign. We were told, you know, by like 12 different legacy media companies and 51 or however many individuals from the former individuals from the deep state. I'm sorry, not the deep state, but the intelligence officials said that this had all the earmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. This whole Hunter laptop thing. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's four or five different investigations going on right now, or things that are going on right now. Not really necessarily investigations, but there's all this stuff that's going on that they're keeping the FBI pretty busy in their little spin factory over there in terms of how they're going to manage all this stuff. They're going to juggle all these balls. Because what's happening here is we've got the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court leak that's going on. Of course, the FBI is going to be on top of that one. We're going to find out who did that. They probably already know, and they probably already have enough dirt on that person, or they have dirt on the people who, you know, if you don't think that they're already playing this card, that they're already at the table here, then you don't understand how the FBI operates. Now, there's talk of this, the whole SCOTUS thing. That it's going to be some kind of an internal probe and they're going to police themselves. Well, that's bull, in my opinion. If that's the way Roberts ends up handling this, Roberts himself needs to be impeached. Because this is prison time stuff, folks. This is something that, this is high crimes. This is extremely criminal act. This should be as protected as anything in our classified documents as there is. This was leaked potentially. This was an intentional act brought about to have a political. This was a terrorist act. And in fact, I'm going to use the word treason here because if you look up the definition of the word treason, that's what this is. It was an act that had a political outcome in mind. Now, there wasn't violence involved, but there's violence being incited. You don't believe that? There are police officers right now who have sustained injuries over this whole thing, have been attacked. Again, I digress. I'm digging too deep into the weeds, drilling down too hard on the issues. And I really want to talk about the principles of what's going on around us right now. Because we really need to understand it, to have our eyes open, not just to get bogged down with the political footballs that are being tossed around, all the juggling. Like if you're old enough to remember the Ed Sullivan Show. And Ed Sullivan would come out and say, bring out the guys with the plates. The guy with the plates. This guy had these sticks. And he would spin plates on his fingers, and then he would put the plates on sticks, and he'd put the plates way up high, They were like 5, 6 foot, 7 foot long sticks. Get them spinning around. And he'd keep them spinning. Got these plates spinning. Spinning the plates. And of course, he played this music. Got this energetic music playing in the background, kind of like circus music. And he's up there doing his thing. Spinning the plates. Keeping the plates spinning. And if he didn't keep them spinning enough, they would fall down. And at some point in the show, in his little act, he would usually... I think the first time he got out the spinning plates, and of course everybody was watching this because there was only three networks, so everybody would be watching the Ed Sullivan Show. And he'd be up there spinning the plates. This is the entire nation's watching plates spinning on sticks. And he's up there spinning the plates. And if I remember right, the first time I saw him, I don't think he dropped any plates. He got them all down somehow without breaking any. And then it became this thing where, oh, he broke one. That was like big news. So that was big deal. And they found out, oh, that got more views. That got more clicks. Not that we ever clicked anything back then, but it's more exciting. All of a sudden, it was more, maybe he's going to drop a plate tonight. So everybody wanted to see the plate guy. So they'd bring out the guy with the plates. This is what this reminds me of. I've got plates spinning all over the place. The FBI's got so much going on. They got all these plates spinning. They got to keep them spinning. All the spins got to happen. Well, this is all going on. And they're getting in trouble because some of the plates are kind of like losing the momentum. If they don't watch them real closely, they start losing momentum. They fall and they crash and they make some noise and everybody pays attention to that. And here's the problem. Everybody, you got all these plates spinning. Everybody's, if you just watch one individual plate, you can certainly keep it going and everything's fine. And you can kind of watch it, keep an eye on it. Get involved in that one plate. However, there's so many plates going on that people, it distracts. There's so much distraction from all these events. So let's go back and just review. Let's take a review for a moment. We have a war that could potentially be a nuclear war going on the other side of the world. We have rampant inflation. We have a Twitter issue right now with this whole thing being Twitter being purchased and free speech, all that stuff. We have a SCOTUS leak that which involves Roe v. Wade and abortion rights. We have a defund the police movement that is now tearing the Democrat Party apart because they're not all on board with that. We have an investigation going on into the Hillary Clinton campaign, Hillary Clinton and the campaign herself and the itself and the. Then we also have the investigation into a Hunter Biden laptop and the Hunter Biden issue and all the Joe Biden's issues. And the election. Then there's the election. And then we also have, because that's still out there. And then we have of course, the Durham probe. We have this disinformation organization now that it's cropping up within the Homeland Security Division. We have the border, speaking of Homeland Security. That's another one. Whole lot of plates spinning. Whole lot of stuff going on out there. And then on top of this, we still have the Trump investigations going on. We have the January 6th investigations going on. Need I say any more? This is a list of was that like 10 things right there? It's more than five. And then you have Bill Barr coming out with his book. Just one dang thing after another, which he didn't say the word dang. It's the name of his book. It's one damn thing after another. All this stuff going on, and people are so distracted by all of it that they just, at some point, they just tune out. And this is, if you read Rules for Radicals, you will understand this is all in the playbook. If you combined Rules for Radicals with the book 1984 or Brave New World, we are going right down the path of all this stuff. Now, when I was a young kid, I kind of touched on this story a while back, and I just happened to remember it now, and I a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I touched on this story about when I was in high school and I looked at a credit card. I think I remember exactly where I was standing. I was in a hallway in school. And I think my parents had given me I don't think I had a debit card or a credit card. But they had given me a credit card for some reason, for something I had to pay for at school or something. I can't remember what it was all about. It was my senior year in high school. And I was standing there with a couple of my friends. And I looked at this. I happened to have this credit card in my hand. And I looked at it and I had this like 30-year revelation of where our money system was going. And I understood from that point. Now this was at a point where most people, probably the majority of people, had credit cards, but not everybody did. There was still some stigma about, back when I was a young kid in the 60s, credit cards were kind of unusual. A lot of people had fuel credit cards. They would buy things with their fuel credit card because they would get discounts on fuel. Instead of it being 15 cents a gallon, it was 14 cents a gallon. You get a penny off. And you got a set of dishes at the end of the month for, you know, buying so many gallons of gas. They were giving stuff away for buying gas from them. At 15 cents a gallon. The old dinosaur, Sinclair, they give away dishes. Not just cheap dishes either, like glassware. And you had, is it S&H? Stamps, collect those, fill up the book, get stuff. Yeah. That's how old I am, folks, for those of you who wonder. Just to give you some idea. That's how far we've come. Now, we have the same thing on the internet. It's just a different principle. It's just different technology, but the same principles. You have Amazon, you buy so much stuff, or whatever, you know, some companies, you buy so much stuff, you get freebies. Whatever, same kind of stuff. And you can still, there's still some companies that are gas companies that give you discounts for buying, you know, having a particular card. If you use your card, you get 10% off, whatever. And I think Harbor Freight does that. I'm seriously thinking about getting a Harbor Freight. I have no credit cards, and I'm really seriously thinking about getting a Harbor Freight card because I buy so much stuff there. I mean, 10% could be, I could save myself probably about $14,000 a year for what I spend at Harbor Freight at 10%. Pretty sure I spend at least $140,000 a year at Harbor Freight. Maybe not that much. It just seems like it. I have come to the point where I go to Harbor Freight now. I cannot go in there and get a shopping cart. I can only buy what I can carry because that's the only way I can discipline myself. Otherwise, my shopping cart is like falling, stuff's falling out of it by the time I get to the counter. And I still only spend like $200. And it's like, I don't understand how I'm getting a shopping cart full of stuff for $200. I go to the grocery store, I buy three things, and it's $200. So I have a... What was that? My shirt just kind of got up against the microphone there. I'm wearing my big fluffy shirt, my pirate shirt, this morning. As far as you know, I'm not going to tell you what I'm actually wearing. Actually, you wouldn't be able to see what I'm actually wearing because it's a camouflage shirt, so you can't see it. You wouldn't be able to see me. I have a... I digress. I need to get back to the topic at hand. So we have this Harry Reid story. And he he's on the Senate floor and he's talking, he's making these accusations that, Mitt Romney hasn't paid his taxes. So he gets interviewed a couple years later. This is April 8th, 2015, is when this was posted. It's a couple years after. I think the actual interview was before that, but this was posted on the website, actually the channel's name is Fusion, but I believe it was, let's just hear what he has to say about lying to the American people on the Senate floor, which should be in itself a crime that throws you in jail. If I lie to Congress, they ask me a question and I lie to them, guess what? I can be punished for that. I can go to jail. Unless I'm, you know, of course, unless I'm a congressman. Apparently a congressman can lie to Congress and they can get away with it. Now see, the point here is not that you're lying to Congress and they have all this power. The point is that you're lying to the American people because you're lying to the representatives of the people. That's the whole point to this whole thing being criminal act, is that I didn't just lie to a congressman. I lied to the American people because they represent the American people. That's why it's a crime. I've lied to my country, not to these bureaucrats. But that's not the way they see it. They see it as, oh, I'm such an important person. You can't lie to me. No, you're not important. Your office is important because it represents the American people. Keep that in mind. And we need to let them know that they should never forget that. They seem to think they're the ones who are important. They're the ones who have achieved something by being elected. No. You don't understand that. You go there to represent us and our rights, to defend our rights. That's what you take an oath to do, to defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Not to create more rights. Not to disenfranchise people and take from one person and give to another. That's not what you go there for. You go there because we have individual rights and you're there to make sure that those are not infringed upon. And yet, that is not exactly what has become of this machine that we call the Capitol Hill. This temple of democracy and all things sacred. And by the way, one of the things that they hold sacred, and they've even come out and said it in recent days, the right to abortion is sacred. In your religion, it is. You want to start talking about sacred stuff. And when they start talking about temple of democracy and this sacred place of democracy, these hallowed walls, it's because that's their religion. Government is their god. And they like being in that place of power. They themselves are little gods with little g's. And they love that. Power is very addicting to people. People are very selfish, self-centered. And that is one of the downfalls of being a people, is that when we're put into positions like that, it can go to our head and we can start to believe that we are so important. But I digress. Once again, here's Harry Reid, just to demonstrate the arrogance. He's being asked this question by... He's a little bit hard to understand. I think I have this also sped up as well. So it's 1.25 times. It's like 25% faster than normal. But we can listen to this here.
On August 2012, you said on the Senate floor that Mitt Romney had not paid taxes in 10 years.
The word's out that he hasn't paid any taxes for 10 years. Let him prove that he has paid taxes, because he hasn't.
But there was no evidence of that. Did you purposely lie?
I'm really happy to respond to this because it's been blown way out of proportion, but blown my way.
I want to point out here, in this interview, you can't see it. However, Harry Reid has sunglasses on in this interview. They're in a very dark room on these little cheap little chairs with this some kind of a background. It might be a green screen, actually. I don't know if it's a real set or not. He's got these sunglasses on because he fell down, or fell up against... He had this big elaborate story as to how he hit his eye, side of his eye. The reporter says, well, it looks like someone hit you. And he spins completely around. Basically, the story, he completely ignores that statement and moves on to, yes, well, I can't see out of my right eye. He continues to describe the injury. Doesn't say anything about, doesn't even acknowledge the fact that he just said, looks like somebody hit you. Because the rumor on the street was, he got punched by somebody. Now, there's some validity to these rumors, by the way. But I'm not going to get into this because that's getting too deep in the weeds on this whole thing. But you have to understand, he's sitting there wearing these sunglasses. So you can't see his eyes while he's talking about all this. He claims he can't even see out of his right eye at this point. This is at the beginning of the interview. Now he's talking about this whole thing about, did you lie? Did you lie to the American people? So did he lie to the American people? Let's find out here how this works out.
Mitt Romney, during the time he was running for president, refused to give us his tax returns.
He refused to give us his tax returns. This is not a legal requirement to become president, by the way. A lot of presidents have turned in their tax returns, and they've set this kind of precedent that's unspoken. It's an unwritten rule. And you have to understand, they make this an issue. Now, people who are involved in politics and make politics their career, they set up their whole, they have a whole group of people within their party that help them set up their tax system so that they can report their taxes every year and nothing looks bad. They have bagmen all around them doing all. Now we're finding out, by the way, that Joe Biden has had all kinds of work done to his house and all kinds of work done to some properties that he has. And it was paid for by none less than Hunter Biden. Whether he's your son or not, you're not allowed to do that to a political candidate. You have to absolve yourself from any money, any funds coming in, even from family members like that, when your son pays $2.5 million for renovations at your home, or when he buys you a summer home. That's not allowed. If he wants to buy you a Christmas gift, that's one thing. But this is, you know, it gets to the point where it's like, obviously, this is money coming back to Joe, the big guy. But again, I digress. He's making an issue of this whole thing of Mitt Romney hadn't reported his taxes. So that justified me saying he hadn't paid any taxes. So the accusation was justified. This is what he's saying here. The accusation was justified. It wasn't just an accusation. He says, we know he hasn't. He said he hasn't reported his taxes because he hasn't paid them. Because he hasn't. He said, because he hasn't. Was that a lie? So he confronts him with, is that a lie? Let's see, let's continue to hear what he says.
Ran for the Senate in 1974. That was an issue, tax returns. This has been an issue of mine for a long time. And he'll come someplace, he'll say, I always paid taxes. He refused to show the American people his tax returns.
He told CBS News, let me also say categorically, I have paid taxes every year, a lot of taxes.
But that's a phony answer. Of course he paid taxes. What he didn't do is let us see his tax returns. Now people.
So of course he paid taxes, but he didn't let us see his tax returns. Well, the IRS sees his tax returns. I don't let anybody see my tax returns either, because only the IRS, and I don't even like them looking at them, is allowed to see my tax returns. You would think if there's something nefarious going on with his tax returns, why not call for an audit, Harry? Just call for an audit and say, let's sig the IRS on him and see if everything he's reported is correct, if he's done anything wrong. Period. This is the same exact template that they went after Trump on. Well, we're after his tax returns. We got to find his tax returns. We need his tax returns. Oh, now we have his tax returns. What's her name? Rachel Maddow. All of a sudden, one night, she has her. We have his tax returns. We have it right here. They had like one page of something from 19-something-something, and it showed that he paid like $15 million in taxes. Gee, what a criminal that guy is. He paid more money in taxes in that one year than most people make in their entire lifetime. But he's a criminal somehow. That turned out to be the biggest womp, womp, womp thing in their the Rachel Maddow show. One of the biggest things she's ever done. Every show is that way. That was just one sensationalized thing where, oh, we've got the taxes. We've got all these people watching. And then all of a sudden it turns out that, well, there's nothing here to see. She hands the paperwork over to a guy across the table sitting there going, what are we looking at? What are we looking at? Tell us what we're looking at here. What do we see? Well, we're not really seeing anything. Oh. Well, thanks for watching. Thanks for bringing our viewership up by 300%. Our sponsors will appreciate that. They'll have to pay more now. So this is the kind of stuff. It's sensational. And it's all nothing. No apologies. No, never an apology, by the way, from the left for doing this kind of thing. And you'll hear here that Reid begins to, he's justifying everything he did because, after all, Romney lost. Therefore, it made it all worthwhile and it was all justified.
And I said that many, many times. I said, someone who worked at Bain Capital, a couple of people told me he didn't pay taxes. But let him give us his tax return.
Some people who worked at Bing Capital, some of them told me he didn't pay taxes. Who are these people, Harry? Let's call them up here and have them testify. Well, I know some people at Chase Bank, and I know that they told me that Chase Bank, they kill people. Yeah, that's what they told me. They take people up to the, into the alley who don't pay their bills. They you know, if they don't make their payments, they take them out in the alley and they just kill them. That's what they told me. Well, who are these people? Well, I can't tell you this. I have my sources. You have your sources. I have my sources. I can't disclose my sources. You're a senator. You have to disclose your. You don't have the privilege of the press here, folks. The reason the press has that privilege of sources that they don't have to disclose is because that's part of the freedom of the press. When you're a representative of the people, a political hack is what you are, you don't have that privilege anymore. You don't have that privilege that the press has. You want to bring accusations like that, you better have some proof.
Let the American people judge that.
And why not let the IRS judge that? I don't have a problem. Look, I don't have a problem with people disclosing their tax returns. Okay, if you want to do that, that's fine. If they don't want to disclose their tax returns, I don't care. But if they're under investigation by the IRS, we need to know that. I want to know that. If there's something going on that the IRS is investigating, I want to know that. Of course, that can also be used as a political tool. It can be, as they call, weaponized. The first person who really used that term that got any traction was Hillary Clinton, by the way. They've weaponized this. She was good at that. She was the big one that came. She wasn't the first one that used that term, but she was the one who made it popular. Anyway.
What I've said.
Harry Reid really has to put up or shut up, all right? So, Harry, who are your sources?
Who was that extremely credible source that you used?
Well, it's more than one source, and I'm just like you. I don't have to give up my sources either. You don't.
But in other words, you didn't lie?
No, of course. Mitt Romney, he can still take care of this issue. Let us see his tax returns. He has never done that.
But in a recent interview, Senator, you seemed to justify a possible fabrication when you said Romney didn't win, did he? You sounded unrepentant, as if...
I have no repentance because it was an issue that was important.
It's clear that there was no evidence.
Listen, there's an easy way to resolve this. Mm-hmm. Let him give us his tax returns.
So,
see, this is an issue of guilty until proven innocent. And this is where Harry Reid gets it incredibly wrong. Because this is not the system we live under, Harry, by the way. You are not guilty until proven. Show us his tax returns. Until he has shown us his tax returns, we're going to believe he hasn't paid taxes. That's the only conclusion we can draw. Because that's the way he wants it to be. But by this standard, we are all guilty until proven innocent. Everyone. This comes right back to the whole foundation of our nation. And one of the things that JFK said, that one of the few things, I'm not a big JFK supporter, but I'd like to quote the old traditional Democrats because they have actually had some sense of statism. Or I should say statesmanship. They understood that when the rights of one individual are threatened, the rights of every man are diminished. And like vice versa, you could say it either way you wanted to say, whether the rights of one man are diminished or every rights are threatened. I'm not even really sure how he said it. I always get it wrong. That he understood the individual rights that we have. At least JFK, at least with lip service, gave some credence to that. The Democrats today do not do that at all. It is groupthink. It is all and this is communism, folks. That's what communism is. It's a hybrid Marxist-communist system that they're trying to push on us. Communism and Marxism usually don't get along with each other, but what we have now is this socialism that is a blend, much like what's in my cup, of a couple different things. And the most palatable parts of all the things, but you also end up with all the worst parts of all of it as well. It's all in the cup there too.
No apologies to Mitt Romney.
Oh, none whatsoever. Zero. None.
Zero apologies to Mitt Romney. None. Zero. This is the arrogance we have.
Let me ask you about an apology in 2010 to President Barack Obama because of remarks that you made about the color of his skin and the way he talks. Was that the most difficult moment in your career?
No. No, I don't know what the most difficult in my career has. Certainly not that. People tried to make a bigger issue out of that than it was. Simply, that story was, I don't need to repeat it, but I told President Obama I thought he had a shot to win the election. And if he decided to run, and he decided to run. And it's been any statements I made to President Obama were personal between us.
There are some obvious edits in this video, by the way, where they're sitting in chairs trying to maintain the same posture the entire time. However, that right in there, there was a couple different edits. And there have been some edits. Whenever they cut to a close-up, that's an opportunity for them to do an edit. Now, this was actually a close-up, and they edited right in the middle of the close-up. It was actually a jerky thing where his head went from one point to another right in the middle of the sentence. It was obviously clipped. Very, very disconcerting when you see something like that. In an audio, you will not hear that. I do audio editing a lot. Just about every day of my life. And when I listen to something on the radio, I have a tendency to be able to, I have a knack for being able to tell when it was edited. Some people can edit so well. And in fact, I've seen editors that have done some things that you can't tell that there was an edit there. You have to be very, very careful about those things. Now, I can get it down to where it's not detectable to an average person. Someone who knows what they're listening to could probably find an edit somewhere. And in this case, the audio is hard to detect. The video makes it very obvious to somebody who's used to looking for edits. The average person looking at this won't notice it at all. They're oblivious to it. So there are obvious edits within this thing. Now, I don't know if it's just for time's sake, if he stumbled on a word and kept on going and they just wanted to get that out of there because for time they had to get it down to 30 minutes or whatever it was for this interview, or eight minutes or whatever this interview was. That may be it. But it's just disconcerting when I see this kind of thing, because who knows what else he said that was stupid. This happens a lot with Joe Biden, by the way. It's one of the reasons they don't do very many interviews with him, because they have to edit so much. Editing can take two, three, four times sometimes longer than what the actual interview goes, getting all the editing done. You know, an 8-minute interview, and you spend, you know, you watch it 3 or 4 times, you go through edits, all that stuff, it's going to take you an hour just to get the show edited for an 8-minute video. But I digress. Let's continue.
Porter, I talked to him, I know his name and all that. He said, "What did you say exactly?" And I gave it to him off the record, and so he took little bits and pieces out of it. Yeah, he took little bits and pieces out of that and tried to make a big story out of it. No, I've had a lot of issues that have been very difficult for me in the Senate.
Now, he's talking about some comments that he made about Barack Obama. He's claiming that this guy, in an interview off the record, took my statements and then he took bits and pieces of it. How do we know that? How do we know what was really said? Here again, this is one of those he said, she said things. It's all hearsay and yeah, okay, whatever. There was a bigger deal going on here than this. And again, we've heard the disingenuous lying that Harry Reid has done from the Senate floor about Mitt Romney. So how are we supposed to trust him now with anything else? But they do. They just let him go with this stuff. They let him go with this stuff. Now, the reason I bring this up from 9 years ago is because this epitomizes the way the left operates on a daily basis. They come up with accusations. They come up with the spin. They come up with the story. They go with that. It turns out to be untrue, but they're already off on the next story. They don't care. And there's no apologies. There's no retractions. It's just next, whatever's next on the agenda, whatever's next on the plate. That's where they go with it. What you're seeing unfolding right now with everything that's in the news, they're overwhelming the system, which is also part of Rules for Radicals. You'll see that they want to overwhelm everything to the point where people can't keep track of one story from the next. Everybody thinks that the Hunter Biden laptop investigation is tied in with the Hillary Clinton Russian scandal and that the Chinese are all a part of that whole thing. Somehow that all gets lumped into one thing. And it all has to do with Benghazi. That's where it gets all confusing and nobody knows what's going on with anything. The issue of the White House after the election was being surveillanced, was under surveillance by the deep state. And here's this whole thing with the Hillary Clinton campaign. They're going after them now. Apparently Durham has won some points here. I don't know what's going on here with the investigation. He's able to submit some things that they were trying to fight against. And got some things released into the court record and into the documents that are being filed. So there's just some pretty serious stuff going on. Of course, it's all being ignored by MSNBC and CNN. So they continue to go after Trump and not everything that's happening with Trump. It's all about Trump. Just Trump he's going to return to Twitter. He's going to be, blah, 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 blah. So all this stuff is going on. And they're trying to overwhelm the American people. Now, one of the things about this, the issue, they're calling the Hillary Clinton lawyer thing. They're saying it was a opposition research operation they were doing. Opposition research. So they're doing research on Trump to try to find dirt on him. That's what this is. It's political. Politicians do this all the time. We always do opposition research to find out our political opponent's Achilles heel. That's just a natural part of politics. This wasn't opposition research, folks. This was fabrication of dirt to try to frame Trump. This is way bigger than anything that ever happened in Watergate. Way bigger. It's over the pale, beyond the pale. You talk about influencing an election. Talk about a January 6th insurrection. Talk about a coup. Now I see MSNBC. There's these. Well, let me see if it's even on my feed anymore. It's probably not. Let's go to my subscriptions here and see if it's even up. I saw it this morning again, where MSNBC is saying it was a coup. They were talking about election results on 2020 and how they were going to do the whole thing on January 6th. You have to understand the ridiculousness of all this stuff, how they... where is it at? Swalwell blasted for claiming GOP wants to ban interracial marriage. Yeah, now he's after that again. No, we only want to ban you from dating Chinese spies. That's the only thing we want to do for you. But he's still on the Security Council. Swalwell is one of the... Swalwell and Schiff. They have mental disorders. I don't know if you realize this or not. There's a mental disorder going on there. There's something very, very wrong with them. Let's see if we can find this. I doubt if it's probably so far down here buried now that I don't know. They were saying it was a coup. MSNBC, pretty sure it was MSNBC. There's too many Sky News Australias in here. It's buried now. It's way down there somewhere. This argument is like peak patriarchy, CNN panel. Debates Roe versus Wade draft leak. Yeah, whatever. So there we go. The show has gone on way too long, and I've talked way too much But I just wanted to point this stuff out because people, a lot of times people don't understand that all the stuff that's going on around them, this is why people tune out. They just say, I just want to listen to my music. I want to put my headphones on and just listen to my music and just tune the world out for a while. It's just crazy. It's just craziness. Well, I didn't even mention COVID. All the stuff that's going on, I didn't even mention COVID. And within COVID, there's probably 20 different things that are disingenuous and disinformation and baloney that's going on. By the way, you know, you don't hear much about that anymore. Other than, you know, people not wearing masks, like Hillary at the gala. Not wearing her mask. Whatever. Oh, Blinken has COVID now, by the way, too. But don't worry, he hasn't been around the president for a couple days. That's reassuring. And yeah, Joe's never had COVID. Nope, never had it. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Keep praying for our nation.